This is a disclaimer for you, the listener. This podcast comes with darkness, gruesome, bizarre, and downright weird stories. You've been warned. Welcome to a podcast that brings you nothing but scary stories.
Scary stories.
Whether you believe
or don't believe,
you will find this podcast disturbingly, crazily weird. Pay attention. You are about to hear some of the most creepiest encounters the world brings.
Welcome back to another episode of Scary Stories. I want to start by thanking everybody that is listening and downloading and also sharing this podcast. So please keep supporting, keep sharing with your friends, and let's get in to today's scary stories. I received a warning message from my childhood friend, but he's been dead for 10 years. I got another message. It's been happening almost the same time every night. But I don't know how this is happening. He's not even here. Danny is gone. Or at least I thought he was. I know he's gone in the physical sense, but unless this is some sort of cruel digital troll, he may not have completely gone after all. The question I face now is if he is haunting me or maybe trying to warn me of something. It started almost a month ago. I was at work at the store, just finishing up my shift. Another late night. I was walking out the back to the parking lot, just after midnight, when I received a strange text from a number I didn't recognise. The number didn't look familiar, but what caught my eye was my name on the text thread was referring to me as AJ's. I was surprised and a bit confused, since I've never gone by AJ's. I thought hard for a moment, and did recall that I told my old friend Danny I'd called me that a lot, but I never corrected him. We did both annoy each other with weird, silly nicknames. I felt sad thinking about Danny since he's passed away about 10 years ago in a car accident. I was a bit flustered seeing the message that was addressed with that nickname, since no one ever called it me. I looked at the body of the message. It was all special characters and spaces with strange single words, all jumbled. I was confused by the bizarre message and the reference to my old nickname, so I responded by asking who it was and what the message was supposed to be asking for. There was no response. I tried to push it out of my mind, but it was bothering me. No one ever called me that name apart from Danny. The entire event got me thinking about the day 10 years ago. Danny and I were 16 and he had just gotten his license and a car. It was a really nice grey Toyota. His parents got it him. My parents were never able to afford even a used car for me, so we were both stoked that his parents were able to get him one, which meant we both had a newfound freedom. That freedom was never meant to be. Since the very next day, when volunteering to go get some groceries from the store for his parents, his car was struck by a drunk driver. He was pronounced dead at the scene, and I didn't find out until the day after, when I couldn't get hold of him, and I tried to call his parents. I was devastated and felt even worse, since our last encounter was a bad fight we had over something stupid. I can't even remember what it was about, but it led us to cancelling our plans to go to the movies that night. Instead, he stayed home with his parents, which led to him dying on the road alone. He had been my best friend and I was not there for him. I still felt guilty about it, like it was my fault. And if I'd just not been so crappy that day, maybe he'd still be here. I continued on my way home, deep in thought and regret, and the rest of the night was uneventful. The next evening was my day off. I was a bit wired, so I stayed up late. Then again, just after midnight, I got another notification, another message. It was on the same thread as before. It still had the jumbled characters, but the word beware was the only one I recognised. I was shocked again by the strange message, and once again, I asked who this was. What did they want? But again, no response. I had two words that sounded like the beginning of a request from this weird source. The first message was please, and in the second message, beware. Please beware. Please beware of what, I thought. This was so weird. I tried to look the number up online, but nothing turned out. I couldn't figure out who was contacting me and why, or how they knew that Danny used to call me that. I had a restless and uncomfortable night, dreaming of the past and the uncertain future again. The following day, I tried to do everything normally, but I kept thinking about the messages, and even though I was tired, I forced myself to stay up till midnight, expecting another message. 12:07 AM. I was almost convinced it had stopped, but then I got a longer message than the previous ones. It was still jumbled characters, but it had what looked like ones and noughts this time, like some sort of matrix-like binary code has come through as well. Danny was really good with computers. He had wanted to get a job working in IT somewhere when we grew up. I shook myself and thought, am I thinking this? Am I thinking this through? I'm looking for any words. This time, it had two words. Die and sorry. This message chain was starting to freak me out. I don't know who thought this was funny, sending me these cryptic messages about death and beware, but I was not laughing. I was still unable to find anything out about this number, despite my efforts in trying to locate its source. On to the next two nights, right on time, I received more messages. More jumbled characters, more binary than looked. It looked larger this time, in bigger blocks than before. No words looked like this. 01/25. And on the next night it was 24. I was once again confused and bewildered by the messages. Was that January the 25th? Or January the 24th? That was the day, 10 years ago, that Danny had died. And the 24 must have been a year to 2024. My head was confused. Who was sending these? My thoughts were sending me in a frenzy. The next 2 days, the same again. A couple of words and some weird characters. Though less jumble and more binary code by the looks of it. Again, in large blocks and the odd breaks in between. The words were I'm and you. I didn't know what this was. Was Danny really talking to me from beyond? Was he trying to contact me near the anniversary of his death? Was it a warning or a threat? I just couldn't figure it out. And I feared the next message as much as I anticipated it. And again, last night, just after midnight, I received the most recent message containing there was the same as before, but almost no random characters, just large blocks of binary codes and the words Will on and my nickname AJ's. It wasn't the message itself, but what I tried afterward that had left me shaken to the core and left me pondering my own fate. What I tried this time was taking the large blocks of binary that left me perplexed before and combining them with breakpoints intact, so they resembled something like this. It's a lot of coding. 01, quadruple 1. 011, 01, 01, 001. And the list continues. I considered Danny and his affinity with computers and decided to put all these into binary text translator and sit there trembling at the result. I shall share them with you, and maybe you can tell me if there's anything I can do before it's too late. What the characters above in the message translate is this. AJ's, please beware. You will die on 01/25/2024. I'm sorry. If this is true, then I don't have much time. I don't know what to do. It's after midnight again, and I can't bear to see what message comes next. I turn my phone off and lie awake, my heart pounding in my chest. Just as I'm about to fall asleep, I hear a burst of static as it comes through my TV. I see more binary and beginnings of a message again. I rub my eyes and try to focus on the message. I sit up to get closer and turn off the TV and fall back onto my bed in disbelief as a multi-layered vision of Danny displays on my TV. I can't speak. I can't breathe. I just stare at my dead friend. He does not seem to be able to speak either. He's just looking at me. Almost sorryful. The image flickers between a slow motion car crash and a drama movie showing me a grieving family at the funeral. Finally, it comes back to Danny. He holds up a hand. I hear a faint static sound and the words being mouthed. Looks like, goodbye, I'm sorry. He vanishes. Seconds later, my TV just goes off. Is this real? Is it all real? I'm so sorry, Danny. Sorry for everything. I live with my brother whenever I come to the city. He has a small two-bedroom apartment in a 10-story building. The neighbourhood is not really great, but the building is, or so I thought. The strange thing is about the building is that you never ever see the neighbours. You can definitely hear noises coming from next door, but I've never spotted anybody. The indoor balconies were always covered in eerie silence. An extremely bright light. Felt like an hospital. Another weird thing was that the guard never talked. He was always standing in the corner all day with an eerie smile. He would open and close the door and then go back to his corner. This was the day guard though. I never saw the night guard, ever. Like every normal teenager, I spent most of the night awake and most of the day asleep. This specific night didn't sit quite right. I was alone in the house. Clock on my phone read 2:55 a.m. It was almost 3 a.m. I had eaten a couple of hours back. I kind of felt thirsty, so I went to the kitchen, which was near the front door, to get myself some water. That's when I noticed the door was slightly ajar, letting in a cold breeze. Weird. I remember locking it. I opened it and walked out. It was dark. That was a first. There was always lights outside. I looked around. It was eerie quiet. That's when I saw him. Figure seated on the staircase, completely out of sight, only his silhouette visible from his device's light. I froze. He turned his head really slowly, revealing more features of his face. Nothing I saw made sense. It was distorted. Mangled, like he had a really extreme bad surgery. I heard him sigh, then a low grunt before he stood up. I didn't expect him to be that tall. Then he made the first step. I heard a crack, then a second. It took me a minute to realise he was walking towards me. I fumbled for the door and immediately closed it behind me, breathing heavily. I turned off all the lights and ran to the sofa, where I covered myself with a heavy blanket. I slowed my breathing and literally didn't move a muscle. I fused myself with the sofa. I became the sofa. I didn't know how long it was, but I realised how stupid it was. I hadn't closed the door. I had closed the door. I was safe. I was safe. I kept telling myself this. I manifested the courage and got up. I looked at my phone. It was around 3:40 a.m. Thought it was longer. From the sofa, you could see the door through a narrow corridor. My body shook. From about 4 meters away, I could feel a familiar cold. From a small space beneath the door, I could see a silhouette of what looked like two figures. I couldn't see anything above that. It was completely dark. That's when I heard a familiar sigh and a muffled grunt. I held on to my sheet. I held on to my sheet with a weak grab and inched more towards the corner. Then I heard the first step. And the second. I never found out who this silhouette person was, or where it came from, or how it got in from a locked door. But I can safely say, I don't spend much time at my brother's house at night anymore. Never explore in an abandoned house. Here's what happened when I tried to. This situation took place when me and my best friend were only 10. We were extremely young, and explains why even we made stupid choices to explore an abandoned house. The content, my friend, we are going to call Tay, was extremely wealthy. Their parents owned a private mansion, practically in the middle of nowhere. It was a very quiet village, and here in one other house were the only houses that actually had people living in them. The rest of the houses, they were all abandoned. Some houses still looked like it hadn't been finished in the building, and some looked like the place had been long after it was destroyed. Well, one of those abandoned houses really caught me and Tay's eye. The house was not far away, but you couldn't see it from her place. As a kid, I was a lot more of a teller, and she took all the actions. I told the creepy stories I knew, and she always had a way of making it creepier by doing stuff that would make the stories seem real, or just take actions to test what I said was true or not. One time, I was telling a scary story I learned from my Georgian grandmother. Every Eastern European knows Baba Yaga, the awful kid-eating witch that had a house with long chicken legs and scary arms that could take you and feed you to Baba Yaga. I was young, I believed in this story, and I told Tay about it. Both of us were freaked out, and she suggested we went to the abandoned house down the road, since it reminded her of Baba Yaga's house. Although I like to tell the stories, I was a big scaredy cat, and it took me a long time before Tay fully convinced me. Little did we know, what we would see was way scarier than an old witch tale. So the next day, without Tay's mum knowing, we went to that awful house. When we arrived, Tay was the first one to go in. We both hesitated at first, since it's natural for anyone, especially kids, to be freaked out and hesitate to go into an abandoned house. We mustered up the courage and decided to knock first. From the outside, there was zero chance of someone that could have lived in there. The wood the house was built out of looked burnt. The windows at the top and bottom floor looked extremely dirty, while some were shattered. And the outside in general was extremely dirty and trashed. It still surprises me, till this day, how it hadn't have been taken down. Well, despite that, we knocked on the rusty door multiple times. And when we made sure no one was inside, we opened the door. The door was actually open, and we stepped inside. I couldn't help but gag at the reeking smell. Trash, all that came to mind. The walls had no wallpaper, the floors were all concrete. There were three turns you could make. You took the right, and there you looked at an abandoned living room, full with burnt furniture. The only furniture I could really clearly make out was like a mattress in the middle of the room, and a nightstand with some old books on it. The room had no light other than the shattered windows on the front wall. In front was a walkway to a door. The door looked somewhat broken, but we didn't explore it further. On the left was the weirdest one. When you walked in, you were greeted by a massive block missing from the floor, with some built fences around it. We both looked down the hole, saw that it was a sewer. No joke, a sewer. Me and Tay exchanged a few looks of confusion, and I was about to say something when I heard it. Footsteps, extremely loud ones. It came from the house. I made a run for it. I didn't look at Tay once and ran to the front door. Surprise, surprise, the door had closed. I didn't even scream. Neither did I try to test the front door. I immediately ran to the room to the right and through the broken window, getting the fuck out of there. I ran and ran until as far enough from the house that I could see the whole house. I worriedly waited for Tay to run out, and thank goodness I saw her jumping out the window. She was already screaming. I ran towards her to get her hand and run faster. I looked back once and saw what looked like a smiling elderly man. He had something in his hands. I hope it wasn't a knife. He was smiling so weirdly and so widely. I still remember his terrifying face. I still get chills thinking about it. His clothes were ripped and stained, We ran and ran, passing her house front entrance and going to the back. We were both terrified. I remember my heart beating faster than I've ever felt it beat before. The house was no longer visible, but we were both still shaking. We both ended up running into her house, and without a thought, ran to her mum's room. Tay's mum still didn't know we were outside, and was confused at shaking and how worried we were. Mum, a man is chasing us with a knife, she mumbled. I covered my mouth in shock. It was a knife after all. We had to explain the whole thing to Tay's mum. She didn't mind us sneaking out as much, but she minded the man. Shrugged us both. And she sent me back to my house as soon as possible, after calling the police. They ended up moving to a different house, way further from the area. They ended up catching up with a man. The man apparently was sent to prison because of murdering several people that were found in his house. Me and Tay still talk about the incident today. What would have happened if I tried to run out the door instead of the window? And that is it for this week's episode. I thank you guys for listening. It's an absolute pleasure recording these podcasts for you guys. Please keep sharing with your freaky friends, and I'll see you for more creepy and scary stories next time.